Again, that we can look at Martha and her frustration and her stress that she had and doing a good thing. But Lord, let us look at Mary as well and see that she had the better thing. She had the best thing that could possibly be had, and that's sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ. And Lord, help us to gain a blessing from this today, Lord, and get some encouragement from it today. Knowing that our lives are busy about many things often, and we're troubled oftentimes as well. Lord, thank you that the one thing that is needful will not be taken away from us, and help us to make sure that we make that a priority in our lives. Thank you for loving us today. Meet our need, Lord. Many of us, if not all of us, are going to come across stress today. We've not already come across it. And we need to make sure that we handle it like Mary did and unlike Martha did. Thank you so much for meeting our need today. Bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. And amen. All right. Let me give you some of the stuff that we've already covered here. We did talk about the chapter here that's going to be lesson 3. And it's victory over stress. And the passage of scripture here is from verse 38 to 42, where Jesus shows up at Martha's house with Mary there. And Martha is preparing. How many of y'all stress out when guests come? Amen. You want to have everything in its place. Now, my wife and I, we differ. You know, she wants to make sure everything is just right. I just want to make sure everything is neat. And there's a difference in that. You know, she wants to dust, and I could care less about the dust. I mean, you could have an inch of dust, and it wouldn't bother me. But she wants to dust and all those things. I just want to make sure everything is in its right place. And so she may get troubled and stressed about her aspect. Then I get troubled about my aspect. Amen. And so both of us now are troubled. And so then we take it out on the kids. No, we don't take it out on the kids. Amen. everybody is so different when it comes to guests coming to your home. You know, some folks want the bathrooms clean. Others want the kitchen clean. Some want the food prepared. Some could care less whether they prepare food at all. You're just going to starve when you get to their house. Amen. Others want to have a nice cup and things like that, a nice cold water, cookies and snacks. Others, you know, don't really care about that. Some just want to sit down. Some want a comfortable place. Others don't, doesn't bother them about a comfortable place. And those things can create stress. Martha and Mary find themselves in that situation, and Martha is just stressed about some things. Notice verse 38. Came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. It could be that Martha was the primary person that held responsibility for the house, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving. So she's busy serving here, cumbered about, distracted, and just all, come over with this. And said, it came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care? And we talked about the stress that's going on. Martha received him into her house in verse 38. That's emotional stress, at least. And then we looked at verse number 40. Martha was cumbered about much serving. That's physical as well as emotional stress. And then she said, Lord, dost thou not care? And that's going to be psychological stress and relational stress, because she said that my sister hath left me to serve alone. Bid her, therefore, that she help me. Physical stress there and relational stress. So we see Martha going through a whole range of emotions here. What are some of the emotions that we said there are? Physical stress, of course, emotional stress, educational stress, psychological stress, occupational stress, relational stress, marital stress, parental stress, financial stress, medical and dental stress, and there are other stresses as well. But we came to this conclusion. Is stress bad? No, stress is not bad. Wrong stress is bad. Good stress is good. Amen. Are we supposed to work? Yes. Is that physical stress? Yes. And so that part is good. In an unfallen world, there still is going to be stress. And so Adam was put in the garden to tend. We gave you 3 definitions for stress. Something that causes strong feelings of worry or anxiety. Number one. Number 2, a state of mental tension and worry caused by problems, work, or other things in your life. I think all of us have that to some degree. And then the last definition was physical force or pressure. And we talked about what's called a stress fracture. Stress fracture, we said, is a crack on the surface of a bone caused by repeated pressure. And if you and I have repeated pressure in one area of good stress, it's going to become bad stress. Repeated stress in one area is not supposed to be. Okay, and that's why glasses break. That's why dishes break. How many of y'all ever dropped a china piece or a precious piece and it didn't break? You were blessed. I've dropped several things that did not break. And I thought, oh, and as it was dropping to the ground, you know how you can see it in slow motion? And you say, no. And then it hits the ground. It doesn't shatter. You think, oh. And the stress is gone and you're relieved. Amen. And then you drop it again later on.
Oh boy.
And it does break. And you thought, man, why didn't it break the first time? It wasn't hit in the right way. And it didn't hit in the spot that could shatter it or fracture it. And so how many of you have dropped your cell phones and they broke? They make them now where they don't, the glass doesn't shatter. But back in the days when they first came out, you dropped that thing. And man, I tell you, it's all she wrote. How many ever dropped them in water? Hey, man, I did that as well. Had it in my front pocket one time and it fell in the bucket of water. Another time I had it in my shirt. I was talking to somebody and I was mopping the floor and I had it up on my shoulder. And as I was mopping, I went over the bucket and bloop, it went right in the bucket.
Oh, no, Pastor. Oh, no.
Of course, I drowned out that conversation real quick. Amen. But praise God, you know, those. Amen. Those can be stressors. Amen. I had the stress of, is it going to work? Am I going to have to replace it? How much money is it going to cost? It was a dinosaur phone. And so I knew they didn't make them anymore. So they're going to force me to upgrade. How many of you go into the store just to get your phone looked at or fixed and just to find out you got to upgrade? They don't make your phone anymore. And you're mad about that. Amen. That has happened. That's stress. All of these things can cause stress if we let them. They really can. So there's a lot of different types of stress out there. Normally the stress enters into our lives when we get behind or it's something that's unexpected. And so we begin talking about that. The extreme Martha syndrome is here. And that can be a detriment of spirit to you, to your work, and to your church if you let it. Amen. So today we're going to move off of Martha, since we kind of beat that dead horse last week and talked about her, and move on to Mary. Because we found out if we're going to be stress-free, you don't want to study Martha. Why don't we want to study Martha?
Because she just makes you,
she makes you stressed. Who do you normally see in Martha when you study Martha?
Yourself,
amen. You see Martha. You see her cumbered about. You see her going, don't you care? You're going to the kids. Did you pick up your stuff? Did you do this? Did you wash the car? Did you pay your bills? Somebody help me do this. And we see ourselves in Martha. And after reading and looking at Martha, you think, is that what I really look like? I'm going to God and telling God to get everybody to help me. And it's not their problem. It's not their fault. Is that what I really look like? I know when I go to Martha and I think, Lord, I don't like the way she looks. He said, that's a good mirror, isn't it? I think that's not funny. I don't want to see that. So we've got to look at Mary's life to see what we should do in the face of stress. Are we all going to have stress? Yes, we are.
Yes.
Are we going to have it tomorrow? Yes. We're going to have it tonight? Yes. Next week? Yes. The Lord tarries? Yes, 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 and yes. We're going to have it. So we're going to look at some things here. Let me read this to you. It says, stress can get the best of us. Jesus provides us with a plan which gives us victory over stress. To find that plan, we don't study the life of Martha. She was a victim of stress. And it's easy for us to fall into emulating her bad habits. Now, by the way, is it good to work?
Yes. Yes.
Is it good to receive guests in our homes and take care of them?
Yes.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. So what Mary is doing is not a bad thing. God's pathway to victory over stress is found in the life of Mary. She knew the secret of living in peace rather than living under pressure. Say that again. She knew the secret of living in peace rather than living under pressure. And so we're going to look at her life. First of all, you've got your books there. Roman numeral one. We're going to talk about the pace of Mary. The pace. P-A-C-E of Mary. The pace. Now, let me ask you a loaded question here. Did Mary's life move at the same pace of Martha's life? No. Why not?
Because
Why didn't Mary's life move at the same pace as Martha's life? Rose? She did what? She gave everything to the Lord. Amen. Why else? Why did Mary's life not move at the same pace as Martha's life? It was a choice that she made. What else? What? Why did her life not move at the same pace? Leah? She didn't pay attention to what Martha was doing.
She's paying attention to Jesus is coming in her house.
She paid more attention to Jesus than she paid attention to Martha. Amen. That's why Martha had to complain to Jesus and say, hey, bid her to come help me. You know, she's giving you all that attention. Hey, what about me? Amen. Anybody else? Yes?
It says into Martha's house. So was Martha the oldest?
Martha probably was senior.
Was this her house?
More than likely it was.
Mary, in a sense, was a guest in her sister's house, or she may have lived with her sister, but still felt like it wasn't her house. You know how you go to visit and you want to help out?
Because you take more responsibility?
But the person that has the house is like, no, you know, it's okay. You don't have to help. You're a guest, or it could have been some of that.
And it could be because the Bible is specific. It says received him into her house. We do know that Mary, Lazarus, and Martha were all together there. They were brothers and sisters. And so it could be that Martha was the oldest and that she was the sole owner of the house and the others kind of lived with her. They could have been co-owners. We don't know. But we do know that Martha took the lead very, very appropriately in this sense because it says it was her house. Okay. Now, think about this for a minute as well. Somebody said it was a choice. Why did Martha make the choice that she made? And why did Mary make the choice she made? Yes, Karen.
I think personalities.
How many of y'all are worker bees? You got to be busy. You got to be doing something. And when you're not doing something, you're bored or you're just slapped like I'm a lazy slugger. I got to do something. You know, you always got to be doing something. Amen. How many of y'all, it won't bother you at all if you do nothing? You could sit down and take it easy. Amen. Y'all, raise those hands up higher. Don't be ashamed. Amen. That's your temperament. Amen. There's nothing wrong with that. That's the way God made you. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, I can't just sit down. You know, I've got an easy or a lazy boy at home, and my kids sit in my lazy boy more than I do. And every time I see them, I say, get out of that chair. And they say, well, you never sit in it. Well, I will. Amen. And then when Chicago comes on, I sit in it and I sob in it. Amen. And wish I never sat in it. Amen. I did sit in it last night. Watched the Cubs win. Amen. So I was like, Cubs win. Yes. But I can't sit down. I've got to be doing something. And that's a part of temperament. Martha's temperament. Obviously, she's got to be busy. Now, I don't know her personally, but it seems like that is her personality. Mary, on the other hand, doesn't seem like she has that temperament. She's taking the good life, the life that Jesus says we ought to take, the life at Jesus's feet. So there's probably some temperament differences. There's probably some ownership involved. There's a lot of different things. Yes, Rose? It could be. It could be she's more spiritual. It could be. By the way, does a person's busyness make them spiritual?
No.
If they're busy, does it make them non-spiritual?
No,
it doesn't. It depends on the individual and where their devotion is. So I can be busy and be just as spiritual as someone that is sitting at the feet of Jesus. Amen. Leah?
Mary had the desire
to serve God. Mary had the desire? You mean Martha?
Mary.
Mary, sit at his feet. Amen. Amen. By the way, despite the fact that guests were present in her home, you find that Mary was not seen rushing about. Instead, she was sitting, listening to Jesus as he taught the word of God. And so the pace of Mary is the first thing that you notice is not the same. By the way, may I submit to you that if you try to keep someone else's pace, it will stress you. You cannot keep someone else's pace. You can only keep the pace that God has given you. I could easily look around this city and look at other preachers and say, well, I want to be like that preacher, and I want to be like that preacher. And I can't look at other preachers. I got to look at Jesus and say, Jesus, how did you make me to be? And then be at my own pace. God didn't equip me to run at someone else's pace. Neither did he equip you to run at someone else's pace. He gave you the Holy Spirit of God, the Word of God. And he said, now I'm going to give you a race to run, and I want you to run your race. He never said run someone else's race. He said, let us run the race that is set before who?
Us.
So you run your race. Now, by the way, if you're looking at me run my race, what are you likely going to do?
I'm not going to make it.
You're not going to make it. What do you say, Jeff? Fall? You're going to trip over your own feet and fall, skin your knee. Why? You're busy looking at me. You better look where you're running. Amen. And so Mary here has a different pace from Martha. Let's see some things about that pace. First of all, we see it's a restful pace, a restful pace. Mary said at Jesus' feet, she took the time to rest in the presence of the Lord. You guys should have Psalm 46:10 there, right? Let me get Brother Sir, read Psalm 46:10 for me. It's a restful place. And I want you to notice a key word in here.
Be still and know that I'm God. I will be exalted among you. I will be exalted
among you. Amen. Two key words, be still. Are there times when God wants you and I to be still?
Yes.
Yes. God didn't want us always on the go. Yes, ma'am. Amen.
To sit, because you can't hear the voice of the Lord if you're constantly doing something.
Amen. Be still. Now think about this. What do you normally hear when you're still?
Quiet.
What do you hear when you're still? Josh?
Background.
How many of y'all ever, you laid still and you heard the clock ticking? Tick, 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 tick. You think that's what it sounds like? Or you lay down and you hear your heart beating. And you're thinking, man, it's beating kind of fast. I better go do it. Oh, now I'm stressed because my heart's beating fast. Amen. Or you're quiet. You hear the kids. You overhear what the kids are saying. And you start listening more. Like, ha, I got them. I busted. Or you may hear something across the street. You know how you heard that? Because you were still. If you weren't still, you wouldn't have heard it. The clock would have ticked. You never heard it. The kids would have said whatever. You would have never heard it. The door, you would have never heard it. How many have been around an environment where there's a lot of noise and you didn't hear things? My wife, she's got the washer and the dryer. It's got a buzz when it gets done. And, I mean, it'll scare you. I mean, it really will. But if there's a lot of noise in a house, it'll buzz and you won't even hear it. You won't even know the clothes are done. But I've been around it before and it went off. I mean, I was sitting in the washer, the dryer with my wife was gone. How many of y'all have the dryer that, you know, it buzzes and it makes that loud buzz? And so I went to put the clothes in the dryer and I turned it, but I didn't turn it far enough. And as soon as I pressed the button, guess what it did? It buzzed. It scared me out of my shoes. I like to jump up to the ceiling. I thought, what was that? I thought, my son, never heard that before. You're not supposed to come on till after the clothes are done. But I didn't turn it far enough and it scared me. You know how it scared me? Because the house was quiet. Be still. Sometimes God wants us to be still. By the way, it's a proven fact that if you're constantly going, you're thinking about where you're going and what you're doing. Which means consequently, I can't think about something else that wants to enter in. Because I'm thinking about where I'm going and what I'm doing. So he says, be still and know that I am God. Go over to Psalm 140 and verse 13 with me. Psalm 140 and verse 13. Psalm 140 and verse 13. Because at the end of the day, we want to be like Mary. We know we're going to be busy. We know there's some things that will come up in our lives. But at the same time, we don't want to get the Martha complex about things. Psalm 140 and verse number 13. Who's there? Psalm 140 and verse 13. Go ahead, Josh, read that. The upright shall dwell where? In thy presence. That means I've got to be still. I've got to be sitting. I've got to be in a place where I can hear the stillness of God's voice. Now, I know some of you are multitaskers. And you say, preacher, I can be busy and still hear God. And that may be true. God may have equipped you that way, but you can't be as focused as you could be when you're still. You won't hear that clock. You won't hear that tick. You won't hear that still voice because your mind is still divided with what you're doing and what God is saying at the same time. And because I know some of you are multitasking. You said, I can still listen to God and be busy and praise God. And some can, but you can't be 100% given to the Lord if you're still busy a little bit. I'll show you another one. Psalm 16:11. Psalm 16:11, because talking about the pace of Mary, it's a restful place. She's in the presence of the Lord. Psalm 16:11. Who's there? I can read that. Psalm 16:11. Rose, go ahead and read that. Amen. Thou wilt show me the path of life in thy where? Presence is what? Fullness of joy. I believe that Mary here is experiencing the fullness of joy. She's at the feet of Jesus Christ. Now, we know that he was not going to be physically with them much longer. He was going to be there for a time. Would serving be there after Jesus is gone? Yes. My wife just went home before her mother passed away. And the whole purpose in going back was to be in her mom's presence. Because I know that her presence may not be here forever. I know it's not going to be too much longer. And so what I want to do is be in her presence. And so Mary finds this restful place in Jesus' presence. Now, where was Martha? Cumbered about. She was busy doing other things. Did she miss out on that blessing? Yes, she did. Now, just imagine if Mrs. Dawson said, you know what? I'm too busy to go back to New Jersey. I've got my family. I've got my husband. I've got other ministries. I've got things. And so I cannot go back. I'm too strapped. I'm too cumbered about. And so I'll go back in her presence later. And then she's gone. Oh, child of God, if you get a chance to go back and be with a loved one and the opportunity affords it, be with that loved one if you can. If you can. I know oftentimes we can't, but if you can, be with that loved one. Be in their presence. Spend time with them. You know, my wife was talking about the grieving process that she's going through yesterday. And she said, what's it going to be like when your mom passes? And I shudder to think about it. I don't even want to think. I talked to my mom yesterday on the phone. And she said, how's Carmen doing? I said, she's doing fine. I said, she's got her ups and downs, you know, peaks and valleys. I said, you know, good days and bad days. And then my wife said, how do you think you're going to handle that? I don't even know. I don't even want to think about it. But I know it's reality. It's going to happen. And so you know what my alternative is now? To be in her presence. Talk to her on the phone. Hey, mom, how you doing? Talk to my dad. My dad and my mom. My dad's 80. How old is dad, honey? 82? 82? And I know he's not going to be here. He's not going to live forever. Mom's not going to live forever. But I might go first. But I want to take as much time in their presence as I can. Mary says, you know what? I know Jesus is not going to be here in bodily form much longer. And so I want to spend as much time in his presence. Knowing the nature, character, and greatness of God requires a stillness and a time of reflection on our part just to think about the Lord. By the way, the longer you are with someone, the better you can know them. I didn't say the better you will know them. I said the better you can know them. Now, why is that true? Why the longer you're with someone, the better you can know them? Josh? Takes effort, takes choice. I've got to sit at Jesus' feet. I've got to do some communication. I've got to do some talking. So it's not going to just happen because is not Martha in the same house? She's in the same vicinity. But does she have the same relationship? Not like Mary. Mary's sitting at his feet. Now, Martha, I'm sure, is catching a word here and there as she's ministering, as she's cumbered about. But she interjects, Lord, dost thou not care? You don't care about me. Nothing could be farther from the truth. You don't care. By the way, most of us do not have a lot of still, quiet time in our lives. Can you get amen on that one? Our lives are so pressured and cumbered. Just talking about Josh. He's, I got to fly out this afternoon. Amen. He's got a time. He's got to be time conscious. If he misses that flight, I mean, job could be in jeopardy. He's got to be on that plane. Some of you, you got to be at work tonight. Some of you got to be at work this evening. Some of you got to be at work tomorrow morning. Our kids got to be in school. And there's a time crunch. And so I've got to get certain things done before that time comes in. And our society rushes in upon us. And it makes us feel cumbered about, because I got so many things to get done before the time comes. Seems like everything blurs together as we rush from one task to the next. Psalm 27:14 is in your book there. It says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Amen. How many of you would say, preacher, I've had the wait on the Lord before, and it's not fun? Especially when you're waiting for monetary things or educational things, or you're waiting on something is hard. But you know what makes waiting, I'm not going to say easier, but more fulfilling? When you're in the presence of the one you're waiting on. I know some men are saying, well, I wait on my wife when she's getting dressed, and that's not fulfilling at all. Oh, that's different. That's different. Waiting in the presence of the Lord and talking to the Lord whilst he's doing some things and being at his feet and hanging on every word and praising him, saying, God, you know what's best. Lord, you know what I'm going through. You know how I feel with this waiting process. I don't like this. And God understands. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. There's value in hard work, and it's important. But there's a time to work and there's a time to wait on the Lord. Mary had a resting time and a renewing time. She stopped everything else to be with the Lord. She wasn't stressed. She wasn't burdened or pressured because she had learned the secret of resting. By the way, you've got to find the peaceful, restful, quiet time in your life. How many is it early in the morning for you? Before the kids wake up, before everything starts. How many is it late at night? How many is the middle of the day, maybe when everybody's gone away from you? Amen. What are some other good quiet times for you? Give me some quiet times. Yes?
Before I go to sleep.
Before you go to sleep? Before I go to bed, I listen to choir music.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Some people, your time is late at night. Kids are in bed. You know, husband's taken care of. Hey, let me just get some quiet time. Others, whenever you can fall asleep at night. I mean, you have spent yourself. And so, the clock has ticked its last tock. Amen. And it's time to go to bed. And so when everything goes off, so do you. Amen. But others, they like that nighttime. Others, it's early in the morning for everybody gets up. You get your coffee. You sit down with your Bible. Nobody's up. Amen. The phone doesn't ring. And except for the people back on the East Coast calling you. Amen. And you can get some stuff done. Others is, you know, you go to work and maybe you're out there in the parking lot or you go under a tree or somewhere like that and I'm out there by myself, or maybe it's at your sports activity. Kids are out there. You don't have to be bothered with them, and they, you know, you're out there under your tree or whatever. Everybody's got a different quiet place and a quiet time, but everybody's got to have that restful place. And so we see the pace of Mary, and it's a restful place, but then it's a renewing pace. A renewing pace. And that's B, a renewing pace. By the way, taking time to sit and listen to Jesus provided spiritual renewal for Mary. You and I can find refreshment and renewal for our spirits when we get off the treadmill of life and find fellowship with the Lord. By the way, you can say taking time, or for most of us, you know, it's going to be making time. Because the truth be known, you really don't have the time. It's already allotted to something else. How many of you, when you wake up in the morning, your day is already planned from start to finish when you wake up? Every minute is spoken for, just about. Amen. I know mine is. And my wife said, "Well, honey, we need to do this." I say, "I don't have time." And she'll say, "Well, you need to make time." Then I turn into Houdini. Nothing up my sleeve. Voila. I got time now. You know what I had to do? Cut something out. Something that I already allotted to do, now I've got to cut it out and not do. And you know how hard that hurts a planner? It took me a long time to plan the schedule and get this thing down to a T. Now you're telling me to make time, now I've got to cut something out of my plan? I spent time planning that. Now, if you'd have told me that I could have cut it out earlier on, and I could have made a plan then. But this takes time. It's renewing pace. By the way, God teaches in his word the necessity of having a place of renewal, and he provides the place for us when we enter into his presence, like Mary is doing right here. Let me read something in the book here. It says, we cannot, notice, we cannot enjoy the victory over stress that God means for us to have without a close, regular, intimate relationship with him through his word and prayer. Read that again. We cannot enjoy the victory over stress that God means for us to have without a close, regular, intimate relationship with him through his word and prayer. Why is that statement true? Why is that statement true? It is true. You're not going to have the type of rest, renewal, and peace that you need to have without spending some time with the Lord in a personal relationship. Why is that true? Rose? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. It does say that. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things should be added unto you. Sam? He's part of us, body, soul, and spirit. By the way, now, search. We don't spend time with the Lord, we're going to do things in our own strength. Now, I don't know about you, but there's nobody in this world that knows me like my wife. And when I spend time with her, she has a way of calming me down. She has a certain spirit about her that just kind of makes me feel a little easier about things. Now, if she can do that to me, imagine what the Lord Jesus Christ can do to us. He who knows us inside and out, and we spend time with him in his presence. Read that again. We cannot enjoy the victory over stress that God means for us to have without a close, regular, intimate relationship with him through his word in prayer. Several things that it will do. Number one, it will renew your focus. That's number one. It will renew your focus. By the way, is it easy to lose our focus when we're under stress? What is the first thing that we try to do when we're under stress? Solve the problem. We say, Brother Sir, take control. One of the first things when a stressful situation, what can I do? What can I do to change it? What can I do to fix this? What can I do to make this less stressful? What can I do? When you get under stress, the first thing that you want to do is fix the problem. And it could be that you have the problem because you didn't have the focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so renewing your focus, it's easy to lose our focus when we're under stress. We can forget the things that are most important and the pressures of a moment. How many of you have said, I will never, and then a stressful situation came in your life and you did? You said, I would never do that. Then a stress comes and you do it. And you said, I said, I'd never do that. I remember in our early days of child parenting, and, you know, it teaches you not to raise your voice at your children and all this. And I would never raise my voice at my children. As soon as they picked up that, they stop. And I thought, what happened? Stressful moment came. And what I said I wouldn't do, I did. And I thought, well, okay, strike one. I have stopped counting on the strikes that I have now with that aspect. You know what does that? Stress. Stress. But they were going to hurt themselves. Yeah, I understand that. Amen. We can forget things that are most important in the stress and the pressures of life. When we spend time at Jesus' feet, we focus on him instead of our troubles. Did you know that? If you're really spending time with Jesus, you're not going to focus on your problems. You're not going to focus on stress. You know who he's focusing on? The Lord. If you're really spending time in his presence, it's going to be about him. And trust me, that's fulfilling. That's fulfilling. I get so irritable when my quiet time with the Lord gets interrupted. I got to have it. I got to have it. I'm going to deal with the pressures of life. I'm going to deal with sinful people and sinful things. And I tell you, I got to have it. We went out yesterday, our brother Scott, door knocking. And, you know, a guy came out and was belligerent. I mean, began to use foul language in front of my children. And I thought, okay, this is not good. This is pretty stressful. I said, Lord, show me what I need to do. I was just as kind and polite as I could be. Brother Aaron got baptized with fire. He was with me. Brother Aaron said, what are you doing in a situation like that? Amen. So you pray, you be polite, amen, and you gracefully say, God bless you. I mean, he could find nothing good in God at all. He could find nothing good in us. He could find nothing good, period. And I just said, I said, you know what? I said, he needs to be saved. He needs to be saved. He needs to be saved. But when you get in a stressful situation, the first thing you want to do is, Lord, I got to fix it. I can't fix it. I can't fix that man's heart. By the way, give you this one scripture here. Go over to Matthew 14:30. We're going to close. Matthew 14:30. How many of y'all like water? Amen. How many of y'all would like to walk on water? Say, preacher, if it's frozen, of course. When we focus on the Lord, our troubles seem to go away. It was when Peter began to look at the storm and the waves rather than the Savior, he began to sink. Notice the account, Matthew 14:30. Pick it up with me, verse number 28. Peter said unto him, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee in the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Man, can you imagine that? You're out there walking on the water. The other disciples are behind you in the boat. Y'all should have got out of the boat. And you're looking at Jesus. And you're walking on the water. But then the storm kind of waves around you. Imagine yourself being on that. Man, don't walk on water and get away with it. Man don't walk on water. It just doesn't happen. But you're doing it. Notice what it says. Verse 30. But when he, what? Saw the wind boisterous. Now, it always amazed me. How can you see the wind? He saw the wind boisterous. Now, how many of y'all ever saw the wind? You see the effects of the wind. He saw the wind boisterous. Boisterous means rough and stormy, violent and turbulent, unrestrained. That's like pressure that comes in your life that creates stress. A coworker, maybe, a child, maybe, a parent, maybe, a boss, maybe, a church member, maybe, a neighbor, maybe. I just got stressed again, Brother Serge, Brother Duffy. I went out back. And I saw a bunch of trash back here. And I've had some ups and downs with the neighbors. And I've always tried to keep my spirituality about myself. But I saw a bunch of trash back there. And immediately I started to say, why you? And I thought, praise God, you need to be saved. You need to be saved. What happened? I took my eyes off of the Lord and I saw the trash. And when I saw the trash, I immediately wanted to do something. And Brother Duffy knows what I want to do, but I have to maintain my spirituality because Brother Duffy has been in my shoes before. He saw the wind boisterous. You're going to have people in your life that are rough and stormy, violent and turbulent, unrestrained. They're going to come at you and it's going to create stress in your life. And if you don't have that renewed focus with the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to lose your spirituality on somebody's neck. You're going to say some words that you shouldn't have said under stress. You're going to act in a way that's unbecoming to Christ. You're going to do or say some things to your children that you ought not have said, or to your spouse, or to your boss, or to your coworkers. You're going to do the unthinkable under boisterous situations. So it behooves you and I to renew our pace by renewing our focus. Says he was afraid and what? Beginning to sink. Don't you find it interesting that it doesn't say he sank? There's always hope. You can always call on the Lord in stressful situations. You can always call on the Lord and say, Lord, help me. I took my eyes off of you and I'm losing my footing here. I'm losing my ground. I'm losing my testimony. I'm losing my cool with these people. I'm losing my patience with these people. I'm not the way I used to be. God, I need your help. I'm losing it right about now. Beginning to sink. How many would be honest and say, I sunk already sometimes. Amen. Yes, Ms. Dawson. Amen. 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 And by the way, we're all going to have those times this week. I want us to commit verse 31 to memory. Notice what it says, but verse 30, but when he saw the wind boisterous, you and I are going to have these boisterous situations happen. He was afraid, beginning to sink. He cried, Lord, save me. But this is what I want us to memorize, verse 31. And immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand. And you think about the times when you may get in a situation like that this week, or at your job, or in your home, or with your children, or with a neighbor, or something like that. Immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand in the stressful situation of Peter's life and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Let's commit that to memory. And remember, we're only one cry away from help. He didn't have to sink. Why? Because he cried out for help. Like Ms. Dawson said, when you start reading and you're not getting anything, cry out for help. When the situations happen around you, you're beginning to sink, you're beginning to lose your cool, you're beginning to lose your testimony, you're beginning to lose ground, cry out. Why? Stress is going to happen this week. Stress is going to happen today. It's going to happen tomorrow. Stress is going to be there. But you and I can renew our focus, renewing our pace, spending that time with the Lord Jesus Christ and keeping our eyes fixed on him. As long as Peter looked to him, he was okay. Matthew 14, 31. That's a memory verse for next week. Amen. We'll stop there with renewing our focus and trust God to bless throughout the week. Father, thank you so much for your goodness. Lord, thank you that we can be like Peter. We can keep our eyes on you and we can do the unthinkable. Lord, we can seemingly walk on water. We can walk on problems that we think are unwalkable. Lord, tempers that are unpassable. Anger that seems to be, Lord, just higher than anything. We can walk on those things when we have the focus on you. The Bible says immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand. God, help us to recognize when stress is at its highest this week, you are one cry away from our help. Bless now in the reading. And Lord, bless the refreshments next door and help us with stressful situations this week to keep our restful place and our renewing place with you intact. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.